And I would like to explain to Mike that I'm gonna set him up here. I don't speak Swahili because I can't. I don't have the capacity to do that. But in wherever you go, there are 7,100 known living languages. And every single place that you go, they will have an interpreter, sir.
Yes, I hear it.
Hallelujah.
I know.
Because in Kenya, there's 47 different languages.
But there's also a universal language,
which is love. Amen. And every place I've ever gone to bring Jesus, you know what I found? Jesus was already there. Hallelujah. Praise God today. And you'll see the sheets here. We're going to use this today to mention a few scriptures. But I also want to say that I want to thank you all. Asante sana. That's Swahili for thank you very much. For the ears that hear, the eyes that see, and for those who partake. Every single one of you guys in here that leave a little offering on that plate, you are partakers in what goes on in Kenya. Buenas afiwe, that means praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want everyone to say, buenas afiwe.
Buenas afiwe.
No, we need to say it louder.
Buenas
afiwe. Swahili is in Harrisville, New York. This podunk little town supports a huge ministry in Western Kenya, in Eastern Africa. Can you believe that would ever happen? Amen? You guys should be proud of that. It doesn't say to gloat, but just be proud that you are a partaker in what goes on in Africa. And today I'm here to mention Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30, which says, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat." Amen? That means the word fat in dashain in Hebrew means satisfied. And the bones actually means body. So when you hear a good report, then you're satisfied. Nobody likes a bad report because then you just feel down. Well, I'm here to bring you guys a good report today. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. Are you doing that little switchy thing? That button right there goes down. Okay. I also want to mention before I start, I might go about 45 minutes to an hour. Is that okay? I'm not sure. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'll try to keep the preacher at a minimum so I can get the message done here, what I need to do. This morning the Lord gave me the scripture about the sower of the seeds in Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 20. When it talks about the sower, it says that he sowed and some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on stony ground where there wasn't much earth, and then it sprang up and dried, and then when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, and withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. But then Jesus explains what that is in verses 14 through 20. But I want to tell you right now that each and every single one of you here is a minister of the Word of God. Because no matter where you go, you're going to drop seeds. Whether that seed takes root or whether the birds come and eat it or the thorns come and take it, you've already dropped the seeds of faith and truth through Christ Jesus. When you give that book, when you gave that booklet books to your brother, that's a seed. That's a seed of faith. That's something that most people don't look at when we are even if you mention the name Jesus. There might be an ear that perks up somewhere that you don't even know. It might be somebody that hears the conversation. But that's usually only about 1 in 10. You see how 3 sets of seeds didn't bear fruit, but 1 set of seeds bear fruit. So I'm here to give you a good report about the fruit. In Kenya, we have the ministry called Inherit the Kingdom. Jane, are you on? Can you come on and unmute?
Yes, I'm on.
Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
This is my wife, Jane. We've been married for 11 years. Oh, it's not coming up on the screen. It's okay. Yeah, we can hear you. So can you just say hi?
Hi everyone. My name is Jane Mugetu-Freja, like you heard. I'm right now in Kitale, Kenya, and I'm so glad that that you all have been supporting us. I'm happy about that, and we are doing a lot of things here. We just glorify God for the energy, and He has given us this space to worship in that way. And thank you all for helping us and in a way you support our ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. Hallelujah. Praise God today. And I've been in Kenya for 11 years, but for the past 3 years, the Lord has told me to do more establishing by building sanctuaries in different areas. When I first got to Kenya, He was like, don't build anything, just establish. Bring the Word of God. And lately, in some of the areas that we've been in some of the lower areas where people speak down about, like when they mentioned Jesus and Andrew said, does anything ever come good? Anything good ever come from Nazareth? These are the types of places that we go into. So our ministry is Inherit the Kingdom, and you guys are a large supporter of our ministry. And let me see if I can get the... Okay. And this is the design of our logo, which Jane developed. She made this for us. And she's also into ecological restoration, so she helps people even outside the ministry. I've been caught up in two riots, but fortunately, the Lord kept me from harm. But they wouldn't have bothered me anyways because I'm white. If I was walking down the street in the middle of a riot in Kenya, nobody would bother me because I'm not part of their culture. So whether that's the Lord or their culture, I believe it's God. I'm going to say it's the Lord. So this is our vision statement. Inherit the Kingdom is Matthew 25 and 34. If you read the verse, has a desire to return to the first century church ethics, standards, and power. We have a desire to restore the faith of the lost through truth. We have a desire of restoring the Gospels to their true nature, not through theology, biblical schools, or religious belief systems, but through the body of Christ. We have a desire to restore the foundation of the church through the apostles and prophets. With Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our foundation's cornerstone, desires only to fulfill the prophecies and revelations of the Scriptures by boldly speaking the truth, even unto persecution. A lot of people don't like that. But when I go out on the streets, I hardly ever watch my back because I know the Lord's got my back. No matter what I'm going through, there's always going to be persecution and violence. You see it against Christians throughout the world. And we have to believe that the Lord is still covering us and through these things. We willfully and wholeheartedly fulfill the will of our Father who's in heaven through power, wisdom, counseling, and the correction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. That is our... I didn't do the ministry statement because that is... that's just more gobbledygook that you have to have when it comes to being registered. Sorry. Matthew 25, verse 34 through 40. Then shall the king say unto them with the right hand, come ye blessed of thy Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me naked. You clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me. When I was in prison, you came unto me. And then they asked him, they says, when did we do this? You know, when did we feed you? When did we give you drink? When did we clothe you? And he says, verily, inasmuch as you have done unto these, you have done unto me. Amen? This refers to every single one of you in this place. Whether you have boots on the ground or not, if you've given somebody your shirt or put food on somebody's plate or helped them with shelter or... I'm going this way. Let me start with the children's ministry now that I've got that out of the way. Does that look like a face of disparity? Do you want to know why? These guys are poor. These guys don't have shoes on their feet. But they've never had shoes on their feet for 3 or 4 generations. Maybe 5 or 6 generations. So they don't know they're poor. If any one of us lost anything today, we would start become desperate. And we would start feeling that disparity and things like that. Because we didn't know where something else was coming from. And these guys, they live it. They live it every day. Oh, can we shut the lights down a little bit? Because... These guys are all dark. Okay. Hallelujah. When I was preaching out in the middle of a field, we were out in this small village, and I came up and I saw these kids, and they all were all coming up to me, and they were all smiling and happy, and they were reaching through. This is the wall of a church. They were reaching through and grabbing my shirt. They wanted to see my hand. They wanted to touch me because they'd never seen a white person before. And we give the children access to materials all over East Africa. If requested by their pastors, whether it be for regular school teachings or pertaining to the scriptures. Because a lot of these guys don't have access. They just, and some of them, most of them don't even have access to school. And whenever we do an outreach, our feeding programs are very essential as well when we feed the children. And we always feed the children first to get them out of our way. That way whatever's left over the adults get. And when we do this, no matter where we are, it's like the children, they just come out of the woodwork. A child tells a child tells a child. Then you have a budget for 50 people. And maybe 25 children, and then you'll end up serving 100 children and 100 people, and you've got 50 people worth of food. We see miracles of food all the time, and I know it's God, because He doesn't want anybody to go hungry. Does that look like the face of disparity? After these guys ate, they're singing and dancing, they're listening to the music, they're just loving it. And this is part of the reason why I do what I do. As we gather as a church family, every Sunday the kids will get porridge. Some of these slides might be in the wrong place, but sorry. As we gather as a church family, once in a while we'll do full meals on Sunday, but every Sunday we serve porridge, which is like. Kind of like cream of wheat. I don't know if you guys know what cream of wheat is, but it's a hot breakfast cereal. So, and it's an amazing program, and I praise God for that. And I want to thank my cousin and his wife are here today, Andy and Diane. And they actually help with these programs as well, which is pretty amazing. And they serve, they don't know it, but that the money they give serves about... I don't know, I would say 150 people every Sunday. That's children and parents, or children and partakers. So, and we serve porridge, like I said, we serve porridge every Sunday, and on occasion we'll have full meals. I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe I should do that first and then describe it. And this is where we started. We started on a tarp. And this was in 2021. And then when we found out that all these people were gathering with us on Sundays, then we decided that we needed to build a structure. But that'll be coming up in a minute. Every week the children will come up and do their presentations. They'll do songs in their Bible study and their Bible verses. And this is separate from their Sunday schools because they have their own Sunday school teacher, who is our daughter. She's our Sunday school teacher for the entire ministry. And she helps train our Sunday school teachers. And that's my grandson. He's 9 years old. He is interpreting for the pastor. So we teach our, when I teach my grandkids, they're going to learn. But so we have a couple of children that if we don't have an interpreter for Swahili or English, then we'll get one of the kids up there to do it, which is pretty incredible. And there he is again. We have several children that can do this work. And I thank the Lord for the children. They will come up, they will help us set up, they will help us break down. Because they just, like, again, they want to be part of it. They want to be part of the Word. And when they're sharing, some of these guys, when they do their Bible verses, their memory verses, they sound like preachers. Because then they have to explain the verse, and then they get up and they're like, hey, let's do this thing. So, and I thank the Lord for that. They have the Sunday school, actually, they will have a day out. Because the children will bring their own offerings to the table, and then they are privileged to use those funds in any way that they want to use them. Whether they want to go to the pool, or they want to go to the museum, and then we'll just, you know, they'll bring in like $12 or something like that from a month and a half. And then, so I'll just kick in so they can go swimming or go to the museum or whatever. If they want to go to the playground, something like that, then we'll just buy them lunch or French fries and sodas, and they just enjoy themselves. So this is what we do to just, you know, we want them to continue to be partaking. And because if they just come in on Sunday and then we forget about them during the week, then they're just going to end up like any other child. When we reach out to the children will reach out to their parents. We had one of our pastors didn't fellowship with us until her kids came and told her what we were doing, and she wasn't really happy with the ministry she was working with anyways. And when she came in, then she became one of our pastors, and she's been with us for two years. This is our Sunday school outside. We have a sanctuary. We have a big building. You'll see that building in the future. But the kids in that building do not have a room. So they'll take it and they'll go out back in the field. They take their chairs and then they spend the day out. And then they'll pack the chairs up. They'll have some porridge and then they'll play some soccer back there, which is pretty nice. So we have three sanctuaries now that we're working on. We keep many materials for the children in stock. I know that doesn't look like a lot, but you'll see some more in a minute. And when there's a need, we will teach them on an individual basis during the week while school's out. Because we just want to keep them busy. Keep them from getting bored. Because when they get bored, then they're going to get in trouble. And again, materials are very important for their learning. All the children will get pencils and they will get notepads. And whenever they're learning, they will write down scriptures during the day, and they will write down anything that they think is important to them. Like this Thursday, I want to thank Terry for letting me do the Bible study for the children. The first question I asked them was, "Who are you?" And they freaked out because they were like, "Ah." So, but when we train up the children, we have to make sure that we keep them occupied and we keep them focused. Recently, we required a complete building. We acquired a completed building and completely overhauled it. This is how it kind of started, and that's what it looks like now. And it cost me like $50 to put electricity in there. So that was a bonus. We finished the walls, got things cleaned up, and then this pastor, Pastor Isaiah, who had contracted cancer, had entrusted us with this task. In March of last year, he came up to Jane and I, and he said, "I've got cancer. I want to give you my ministry." Because he was attached to someone else in the city of Nairobi, which is huge, and ministries over there have mad money. A lot of ministries have mad money, but they never supported him. They never supported him to do anything to help build the structure or anything like that. So he came to us because we helped build that building. And he says, "I'm going to hand you the reins." And then as soon as he was clear of the cancer, he thought we were going to keep it. We handed it back over to him, and he said, "No." He said, you guys are the stewards." So we took over this, and now and it's been an honor to work with Pastor Isaiah. And I'd like you to pray for Pastor Isaiah, because he found out that he had some kidney malfunctions, and he's recovering from that now. And in this building, I built a library. The building was so large that the Lord led me to build a library for anyone to come and research, study, and share. It's open when the pastor is there. When Pastor Isaiah is there during the day, we have a sign. He'll put the sign out front, and people are welcome to come in and do some reading. This is all about the scriptures. Some of them in the blue are study guides. The little black boxes, those are Bibles, and the rest of those are a lot of things that I wrote on the bottom shelf. On the top shelf, it's all like research and study booklets and things like that about the scriptures. And then this shelf here is for knowledge of archaeological studies and historical things about the church, and also things about other religions, what other religions do, and so it gives you a history of how the church has become what it has become. And I praise God for that. I mean, it was a chore, but it was very nice. A lot of these things too are a lot of things that I've written over the past 14 years as being saved. And then there's the other box was kind of empty. Materials of art and Bibles are key study, again, for children as well, as I stated earlier. And this is where we started. I don't know, Mike, if you remember when we requested a little extra funding so we could buy this tent. Yep, and we put this tent up, and within, that's one of my pastors, Pastor David. Within 6 weeks or so, it was during the rainy season, where we put the tent up, it was like 6 inches of mud. So then we decided that we had to put up a structure. And then for a while we were using it for when we did outreach, we would take the tent with us and we'd set it up in a field, and then people would show up out of nowhere. The mud became an issue, so we built a community center and a fellowship hall. Now the thing about that was I wanted to leave it open so people could use it, the elders could use it, the community, the committees, the councils and things could use it during the week, or for if they wanted to use it for meetings. But we had to enclose it because during the night people were coming in and doing some illicit things, you know. So this is us finishing up the structure and putting the walls up. This month I'll be buying a door, so they'll be able to completely enclose it. This is our Webuye branch. And you see now they are in a tent right now. And the thing is, we are borrowing the tent from another ministry, and it's become a burden because the other ministry is expecting, because we have the tent, is expecting our pastor to do things for their ministry because like an obligation, Ministries over there, they won't do anything for free. If you need extra chairs for a function, they will say, oh, we'll loan you the chairs for a certain amount of money. Because it's all about cash, 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 cash over there. The ministries won't work together. One, if you have two church, it's like in down south, you have a First Baptist church that's black on one side of the road, a First Baptist church that's white on the other side of the road. And neither of them will cross the street so they can fellowship together.
Still today.
Yes. But it's like all religions. Religions are like that. Like last Tuesday when I asked the lady if she wanted to come in. This was during the Lenten service on Tuesday. I said, how'd you like to come and see what we're doing in Kenya? And she says, I can't. Because I have to go to my church. So that mentality is all over the world. But we have a pretty good crew here, and what I like about Wabuye, it's a lot of young men. So I'm starting to develop courses for training young men. And when I get back, I'm going to start implementing that. But these guys too, they do a lot of ministry outside in the community. When you see these guys bound up here, these guys throughout the week are going out and preaching the gospel. Don't despise the small beginnings. That's the beginning of our new building. Pile of stones. Dig in the dirt. Amen? So hopefully when I get back, I'm going to be investing heavy over these next few months so we can get the building done. We have enough material where we can at least put up the roof. And we'll put the posts up, put the roof up, and then we can get rid of that tent. We can send it back to the ministry because the tent has become a liability. At first it was an asset, but now we can get rid of that liability. And I praise God for that. Notice there's one guy working in the picture. There's usually several there, but when I ask like my pastors or somebody to take a picture of something so I can forward it to you guys and let people know what's going on, this is usually what I get. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. This is where we're going to start the scriptures on the thing. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude and the disciples to them, and they said, it's not a reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. To me, what I get out of this is like, instead of just going out because Jesus calls us to go out. But today it's like everybody just wants to come in and sit down and just be comfortable serving tables. But I know that you guys do your work in a different way. I know each and every one of you has a job to do because God has called you to a certain job. So you're not only serving tables by coming in and fellowshipping together. There's a lot of religions that will do that. You guys will actually go out and do. You'll share, you'll go fellowship with other places, you'll do this for this or do this for... Mike said he just went to visit three people on their deathbed. You know how many people in this world could do that on a regular basis? Amen? Hallelujah. This is why each outreach is important for our ministry. This is probably why my heart isn't doing what it's supposed to do, because I'm picking up 50, 60 pound bags of rice and throwing them on the back of a truck. So I went to a warehouse, and this guy saw me coming, and he tried to raise my price up, so I went to walk away, and then he gave me the regular wholesale price instead of retail, which is really cool. And we were serving this. This was in Honduras. We were helping out a home for pregnant single mothers. We brought like 600 pounds of food, to that place. And we also bagged up food, so we do this in Kenya as well. Wherever I go, I make sure that we do this. That when we go do home visits and we see people on the street, we preach the gospel, we pray with them, and then we'll give them some provision. And this was in Kenya where we're lining up the food. You'll see there's soap. We bag tea, sugar, soap, corn flour, porridge. And if we're invited into the home, we pray with them and share the gospel and share their food. You know how often we're turned away? More often than not. Most people don't want us to come into their house. They'll say, okay, you can pray for me from out there. They don't want Jesus. It's the same everywhere all over the world. And Jesus says, just dust off your feet and leave that village. So we have to we pray with them and then we move on, because if we don't move on, then we might have missed somebody who is crying out for salvation and living that desperate life. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow nor the fatherless, the stranger nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your own heart. Amen? And the church said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God today. If we don't show love when we go out, who are we? If any of this is done without love and we think it's just an obligation, who are we? We also provided this walker for this widow. We also provide mattresses for widows. We have an ongoing budget for a widow who can't afford her rent, so we pay that every month. Mattresses, clothing, shoes, things like that. And whatever the need is, we try to fill it. Because most of it is small. We also help with, this is Jane. Hey, Jane. Jane? Hello? Can you unmute? Yeah. Can you explain this picture here?
Yeah, that picture is showing we go to home visits. We visit homes that are around our areas of operation where the sanctuaries are. So we carry the food bags, and then we go to the houses. So this day we met these two young men standing on the side of the road, and we asked them if we could go pray with them in their house, and they said, yeah, it's okay. So we went to their house. They lived in a very tiny, small room, and they did not even have food that day. But they were happy that we came, and they also gave their lives to Christ. And we left them a bag of food, a kilo of rice, sugar, and soap for clothing. So they really felt good. And one of them has been visiting us at church once in a while. And we still continue praying for the young men. Thank you.
Thank you, baby. Hallelujah. And the children also step in and help out. They get excited. Yeah, let's go out with the adults and preach the gospel. And if the children are there, we'll be going to the house and the kids will play with the other kids. And then they'll help us with the food. And it's pretty good. Because we don't have to carry anything if they're with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, what's next? We got another scripture. I don't want to bore you guys with scripture, but I have to add it in. It is crucial for us to do our best to reach out to everyone in the communities we serve. We, if are able, will provide mattresses, housing, clothing, and food to certain widows and elderly who are unable to provide for themselves. We also mobilize the church community to help with these things. Last month we had a clothing drive, or before I came here we had a clothing drive. We probably got like 200 pounds of clothing. And then we were able to share that and distribute it among the community. In our mission statement, it says that we will do our best with the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help the community serve their own and become self-sufficient. Which we do. We will invest in people in the community so they can build a business or start this or start that. You know, if they're hustling, then we try to help with their hustle. There was a guy that does shoe repair. We replenished everything that he needed to repair shoes so it could help build his business. Because we want these people to become self-sufficient. Doesn't matter how poor you are. If you have the drive and you have the focus, then you eventually you'll be able to feed your family without outside intervention. Exodus 22 through 24. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry out unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wife shall be widows, and your children will be fatherless. That's one reason why I serve God the way I do, is because I don't want hot wax. I don't want God to be waxed hot against me. That would just be. I think that's why I love God so much, is because of the fear and the knowledge of Him. And then Psalm chapter 82, verse 3 and 4, defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and the needy, and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Amen? And let me continue with the outreach programs. I was climbing up side of a rock to get to this widow's house. And that was kind of fun, but it was a little bit dangerous. But she was calling out to us. If Paul was in a shipwreck, what's climbing a 20-foot cliff for me, right? It's nothing. It's no big deal. And we got up to her, and we sat there all day long. She fed us. She gave us tea. Then we left her a Bible. And it was really, really nice.
You're on seed being planted.
Amen. Therefore, said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, and behold, send you forth the lambs among wolves. There's a lot of wolves out there, and I've found them, and I've seen them. And I know we've been prayed against by other ministries, because they sit at the tables, like I said in Acts chapter 6. They just sit at their tables. They don't do anything. They pray against us. They have witch doctors pray against us. So you can really feel sometimes some of the areas you go into when the Bible talks about principalities and territorial spirits. You can feel a shift in the atmosphere.
What about the snake?
What snake? Oh. We were in Uganda, and I was getting ready to preach, and I had just rebuked some evangelists because they said that they wouldn't let me on that day when I was supposed to be the final preacher. And so when I rebuked them, I rebuked them hard, and I rebuked the musicians as well, because they just wanted to keep playing and playing and playing. And so Jane and I went to sit down, and they were playing, and while they were dancing, there was an asp, like it was like 4 feet long. An asp came through the crowd, and a guy yelled out, snake. And the music stopped, everything stopped, people spread out, and the snake started heading, and Jane and I were the only two people sitting in chairs, started heading right to us. And I said, no, 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 no. And I stood up, and I walked towards that snake, and a guy was hitting it with a little tiny twig like this, like hitting it on the, and just gave the snake just a chance to stop. And then he had like a little fork, and he held the snake down. And then when he let the snake up, the snake came up like that. And then I kicked it, and I squashed its head. Scorpions and snakes, people. I'm telling you, there's a lot of spirits out there that do not like you. They don't like you at all. That's why when it talks about persecution, we have to be ready for that persecution. But when we're covered in the Holy Spirit and we're covered in that protection, then the Holy Spirit's going to lead you on what to do or how to speak. Amen? Wolves and other things. I'm on a main highway. You'll see the white line. I'm sitting in the middle of the road trying to change this tire while giant trucks are passing me at like 75 miles an hour. Because the owner of the car didn't know how to change a tire. And that's why my wife got me a car for my birthday last year. Yeah. This was when Jane was visiting the Maasai. So you see this in National Geographic, and you see them on TV and things like that. Well, we have the opportunity to meet these people face to face. And one of the Maasai... Yeah, and one of their chieftains actually gave me a walking stick. Actually, they gave it to Jane. Jane, why did they give you that walking stick to give to me? Because she was using my walking stick to poke the fire.
I used your walking. Was it a walking stick? Anyway, to poke the fire in the fireplace, and it burned on the end, so. I went and told them, I told my husband's walking stick, and they gave me a good one. The elder of the village said, this one is just for men, and it's an honor to give it to your husband, because they pass it down from father to son all
yes.
the time. So if when a father is very old and he has his walking sticks, he takes one walking stick, passes it on to the son, and the son will pass it on to another son. So they gave me one to bring it to Ronnie as respect and honor, and so I think Ronnie gave it to his dad.
Yes, and he has that walking stick today. Dad has that walking stick today, which I expect to get back after he turns 101 and 2 or 3 or however he's going to be. Hallelujah. We build local teams when we go out. When we go out, we don't know anybody in the village. We'll probably know the pastor that invites us. And then then we meet some of the people of the community and his fellowship. And then we'll develop a leadership team that can take teams out to go house to house. And we go north, we go south, we go east, and we go west. And then we'll go out for 2 or 3 hours. And then we'll all come back and we'll share our testimonies. Because testimonies are very important. A lot of these people have never done this before. All the churches we've gone to, probably 20% of the churches actually go out and do evangelism. So when we go out and we teach them how to evangelize, they get excited because they've never done it. And we tell them, this is what Jesus told you to do. And then they go out and they come back, and some of the testimonies they come back with are just pretty incredible. And we also have the capability to be completely mobile, even in the middle of a field, because we have our own power sources and things like that. Does anybody have any questions so far? Are we good? A captive audience, yes. Right now we only have one piano in one of our ministries. I'm looking at other resources to get us some musical equipment so we can have pianos in every one of our sanctuaries. Because these guys love the piano. And sometimes they try to get really loud, but in our ministry, in our constitution, it tells the pastors that are in that run that sanctuary, they will tell the people that are the technicians or the engineers that are running the musical equipment that they can only have it so loud. Because whatever we do, it should the noise shouldn't reach the neighbors. Because they don't need to hear that. If you understand what I'm saying. If they want to hear it, they can come in. When we go visit them and we tell them to come in on Sunday, if they don't want to hear it, then... Because plus, I don't want to wake anybody up that's been working all night. Because some of these people are security guards and things like that. And it starts with a tarp and a mission. We'll go and we'll just set up a tarp. And then if needs be, if enough people come, then we'll rent a tent. And then we'll set up everything, and then again we'll start with the evangelism, and then whoever comes in on the first day, we'll send them all out to gather more people to come in so we can fellowship together. And that's how you bring a lot of people to Christ. Yes?
I'm confused. Where are these set up? Like, some of this looks like remote, and some of it looks like very modern, like where the car was, and where are you?
Oh, that car was very remote. Yeah, but then we were on a main road. This is also most of the places are pretty remote. This one is actually just outside of a small town. We don't usually set up in town. We set up just outside of town, or else we'll be in we'll go to a place where there's a church, and the closest house is 200-300 yards away. So these places will be in the middle of nowhere, so everybody from the area can come and gather in that one spot. And a lot of times there's no power. I would say 80% of the times we don't have access to electricity. Yes? Oh, we pick up logs, and then we pick the bugs out of the ground and we eat the bugs. No, actually we have butchers. It's like old school. We have a butcher, and we'll have a baker, and then we'll have somebody that sells this sugar. We'll have somebody that sells flour. We'll have somebody that sells corn. But we also have major grocery stores, just like PNC, Price Chopper in Governor. It's not as elaborate, but most things that you have here we can buy in Kenya. So it's not so bad. But when you're in the middle of nowhere, your resources come from everything fresh. Like your fresh meat, we go to the butcher, and the butcher will hack off a piece of meat, and then we'll make a beef stew. And then there's people that will sell just potatoes, other people would sell just tomatoes, and other people will sell just carrots, and other people. So you go through, and it's like a huge fresh farmer's market. And it's amazing. The food over there is amazing because it's so fresh. This is Jane. We were out in Uganda. This was actually the same day that I killed the snake. And you'll see I'm making my rounds. There was a whole huge circle of people, and I was just making my rounds and preaching and praying to different people. Right now I'm talking to some children. This is in eastern Uganda, because our ministry has probably, 600 square mile radius. Square mile, that's a radius, okay. We try to do what we can, and I'm hoping that the next couple of years we'll be able to expand our reach. You see me up on stage. This is they made this out of just regular wood and logs that they find, scrap wood and things like that. And then we'll get up. And there was probably about 1,000 people there that day. I didn't get too many. Like I said, when I ask people to take pictures, they're like, they take them. I don't need pictures of me. I'd like to have pictures of the crowds and things like that. But that was fun. This is outside of one of the major mountains. There was a church also in Uganda, and they were just building the structure. They probably had like 10 people that were participating, but when they found out that Jane and I were coming, people were coming down off the mountain, and the mountain's 14,000 feet. So these people were coming down 2 or 3 miles, 4 or 5 or 6 miles, just to come in and fellowship with us. And we had an amazing time. And this is another church that was, this was actually in Uganda, or this was in Western Kenya, close to where we live. We were invited to come in and spend a weekend with these. And when we go spend a weekend, we will gather the people to send them out into the villages. Because I don't go with the intent of not doing evangelism. Wherever I go, I have the intention of doing the evangelism. The past couple of times I've felt bad because I haven't been able to go out and share the word with everybody else the way I usually used to do. And it breaks my heart. Maybe that's, and it just, yeah. So anyways, I pray that everything will come back together so I'll be able to do this more often. Now let's get on to baptisms. Do you see the water? There's no piranhas, no crocodiles. Maybe, we don't know. But we'll go in there. These are usually done in small creeks or springs where the water will build up. And then what we'll do is we'll build up the sod. We'll make a sod dam, so the water will build up behind it just high enough so we can baptize people. This is when we have an opportunity, when we're close to a place where we can do that. If not, let me see. And he said, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospels to every creature, and that he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And God will wax hot. Hallelujah. And so you see, this is another person. See, we're right by a bridge. We're right underneath a bridge right there. And then one of my friends made it a little easier for us. So we put this inside of our Sunday school. And the kids started running around. They were like, "Yeah, we can go swimming. We can swim." And it's like, no, you have to wait. So this is Dr. Stuart Littwiller. He's from Michigan, and he's recently become a resident of Kenya, and that's his wife Eunice. And we've become good friends over the past couple of years since I met him, and it's been a really, really good relationship. He does a lot of, he's not really a psychologist, but more of a motivational speaker. So when we get together, and he'll come in and he mixes that motivational speaking with preaching the gospel too, and he's really, really incredible at it. And he's got a huge farm in Kenya and in Uganda, which helps support his ministry.
What's on his farm?
Maize, corn. He's got 100 acres where it's just corn. Well, he has a few animals, but it's mostly corn. Like a lot of people will raise one or two beef cattle, and then when it gets to age, if it's not a milk cow, then they'll slaughter it. They would rather have a milk cow than a beef cow, because a milk cow will keep producing milk. And this lady here, when we were filling this pool up, she was the first one to go get the first bucket of water the night before so she could be baptized. She was in a hurry to be baptized, and it reminded me of the story of the eunuch and Philip. "Well, we got water here, so why can't we just do it?" And so we talked her down, and she waited till the next day, and she was just so happy. She came up out of that water crying, which is pretty amazing. And she was a full-time drunkard and prostitute. And you see her here today. And that's her coming up out of the water. Sorry. And we were also doing a few kids that day. You guys that are here that want to be baptized, here you go. Look, we even do that in Kenya. If they're willing and they're ready, that's what we're going to do. So we baptized like 15 people that day. I didn't get in the water, because usually I get in the water, but I don't like clean water. I usually get in when it's the rivers or the streams. And this is one of our team. That's the one in the red is Pastor David. There's Dr. Stuart and my Bishop Crispin, our Pastor Monica, and Stuart's wife, and then me. And I think I'm wearing... same shirt. Hallelujah. And then when they get baptized, they'll get baptism certificates. Because this can actually help them get a job, believe it or not. Or when they're doing anything legal, they want to know if they're baptized. So we made up this card. And then when we do evangelism, before we do baptism, like I said, some of these slides are not in the right place. We always have materials. And I print all of these out. I have a huge Kyocera black and white that'll pump these things out like hundreds and hundreds. And then I also have a colored one. When I do my booklets, I'll do my booklets in color. And these are a lot of my booklets that, and you see, I'll do like 200 or 300 booklets, get them all stapled, and then we go out and evangelize. Everybody will get booklets on, and a lot of them are like have to do with like baptism and adoption and inheritance and basic biblical knowledge that will help help you understand what these words talk about. And then 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is why materials are very important to me. This is why I like to get Bibles in... Yes?
Are they in English or...
I have a lot, most of them are English, but I'm in the process now of translating them, because I'm using Google Translator, translating them from English to Swahili. But you'll have one paragraph in English and a paragraph in Swahili. So the books will actually double in size, because so you can read either or, English or Swahili. Bibles are a key to knowledge. We try to get as many Bibles out as we can. It's difficult because now in Kenya the Bibles are a little bit more expensive than they used to be. That was during the pandemic. After the pandemic, the price of Bibles doubled. I think that's because of greed, because people just want to make money. You know, people who sell Bibles don't actually sell Bibles because they need to spread the Word of God. Publishers don't publish Bibles because they want to spread the Word of God. They publish the Bibles because they want to make money. So, I just wanted to clarify that. You see, this motorcycle driver received a Bible from my grandson and my wife. And this was in Honduras. When I got funding for Bibles, I actually sent half of that money to Honduras so my pastor in Honduras could buy a bunch of Bibles and then hand them out as well. This is in Honduras. That's Pastor Francisco. And he was handing out Bibles that day. That's his son also. And you see, we go in, you see the way the building is and stuff like that, and the way these people are dressed. All third world countries, most third world countries are in the southern hemisphere. Well, not really the southern hemisphere, but... and they all dress the same way. You'll find that most of them are dressed in used Western civilization clothing and things like that. And they all eat the same thing pretty much, like corn and tortillas and just flour breads and things like that. So, and they all drink pretty much the same thing, like tea or... And there's another picture. And you, some of the looks on these guys' faces when they receive a Bible, they just, they're just like, why are you doing this for me? It's because we know that you'll share the gospel of Jesus Christ and that will become part of your testimony. Well, these people came up and gave me a Bible. And then who knows, they might say, well, where did you get it and who are these people? Except one time I went into a church and I was preaching and I brought some Bibles in, and there were like 5 or 6 pastors there because they knew I was coming. The host invited them in. So I gave them each a Bible and I required them to give that Bible to one of their people in their congregations. And I came back 4 months later and they invited those pastors back, and each single one of them kept those Bibles, and they never handed them out. So I don't give Bibles to pastors anymore. They can work for it. They can work for it, but people like this, they really need it, and they love it. This is Jane. She handed, this was Jane. She gave these young women a couple of Bibles. One is excited, and that's how they get excited. You want to take a picture of a Kenyan? It's pretty fun. And now this is another part of the ministry. We have a treatment program for jiggers and bed bugs, and we will go to a compound and treat feet and hands and spray that the living conditions change. During this time, we will also preach the gospel. This is David, the guy that was in the red shirt earlier. He goes around and he treats people for jiggers, which is a bug that will get into your feet and under your fingernails and under your toes and sometimes on your legs or in your waist area. And he will go in and treat these things. And then Dad just sent us some money so we could buy these people Crocs. So whenever they're treated, they'll have something to wear on their feet. Thanks, Pa.
Are the tickers things like ticks?
They're like ticks, but they're like tiny bed bugs, and they crawl underneath your skin, mostly underneath your fingernails. And they'll eat your fingers right off your body if you don't get to them close enough. And none of these guys have any money to go to hospitals to get treated. So we do the children and the feet. You'll see him working on the feet. Now, the pictures I'm showing you here are very, very mild compared to some of the pictures that I showed Dad. And Dad also helps supply the medical stuff for the treatment to fill the med bag for these things. And then we'll go in and we bought him a sprayer so he could go in and spray the entire compound. And he'll go in and spray the house and the mattresses. They'll move them outside. And so we'll kill everything on the compound, and then when they go back in, then they don't have to worry about bugs. How about dedicating babies? One of my friends had a young son, and so we go in, and you see his hands are full of just... Sorry, it's like a baby shower. Everybody will come in, we'll sing and dance and pray, and then we'll start throwing stuff at him, like bottles and diapers and just all kinds of stuff. Just for the baby. It's so much fun. And then we do a baby dedication certificate, just because that's what they like to have. These people, I don't know, they're obsessed with certificates. If I do any kind of training, they're like, where's my training certificate? Or, you know, where's my baptism certificate? Or my baby dedication certificate? And then to finish, I would like to add that we also invest in the communities by setting up women who are interested in selling goods at the market. And also, we are always active in supporting folks who have had a tragedy, funeral, hospital, or even support local widows and the elderly with furniture and mattresses that might make them a little more comfortable. All of our church leaders are always on call to help the needy as well. Can we do the video of the... No, not really. Do you want me to finish this? Let me finish this before we do the videos. Okay? Hallelujah. He gives us health, prosperity, spiritual enlightenment, ministry, and so on. And watch out if he blesses you with these things that your testimony does not become selfish or blemished or prideful. Hallelujah. I wonder where that is.
That's the remotest part of Africa.
That's the remotest part of upstate New York. Like I said, who would have thought a podunk little town like Harrisville, New York, has a ministry so strong in the faith and love that you are able to help with all of these things? Give me a second. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit that may abound on your account. Amen? But I have all and abound and full and having received. God bless your day. I can't thank HCC enough for helping us to finance these programs and spread the gospel. You are the reason we can do and accomplish so much, and we have a lot more to come. And if you have any questions, please feel free. Thank you so much, guys. I've got a couple of videos that I want to share.
John, you mentioned the pastors.
Yes. Pastors for, you mean my pastors?
Yeah, you mentioned pastor, your pastors.
Yeah, we have pastors in our ministry. We have three. We have a bishop, and we have an apostle, and we have three pastors, and we have teachers, and we have, so we basically have the fivefold ministry that we're working right now in Inherit the Kingdom Ministries. And because that's the way the Lord set it up. And if He set it up any differently, I'd be doing it a different way. And when the Lord said, you go out and do, you go out and do. And the problem I have with people coming up telling me that I can't do it, when I know my Jesus said, you go and do it. If Jesus said it, I believe it. And I'm not going to question it. And I teach people that same thing. If Jesus said it, you better believe it and you never question it. This is part of your faith and your belief system. Because if you're not walking in that, then you're not walking in truth. You start walking in religion, you start walking in doctrines and your dispensations and all these other covenant things that theologists bring into the ministry. I don't need that. I just need the Bible. I just need the words of Christ. I just need the Holy Spirit for my counselor and my teacher and the one who's going to correct me if I'm doing anything, if I'm stepping out of line with that. And let me see, which one is this? Okay, now this video. That's right, we needed the video. HDMI 2 off. You want to do it by the USB?
Well, it's not. For some reason, it just doesn't want to share.
The devil is a liar. He's the prince of the air. I wanted to share a video of we gave a ministry like 20 chairs, 15 or 20 chairs, and how much they really appreciated it, just having the chairs. They'll sing and they'll set the chairs down, they'll sing and they'll dance around the chairs, and they'll thank the Lord and they'll praise God for the chairs. Press the question button. Nope, to display help. Nope. Your laptop's not reading. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed that presentation. God bless you guys. Whoever's gonna leave, thank you so much for your help in all of this. Harrisville Christian Church supports probably 30% of the ministry, which is big. And we use every penny. We use every single penny of that. And I appreciate you and every single one of you. Jane, do you have anything else you want to say before we go? She might have gone. She fell asleep. See, she's just as bored of me here as she is at home. One time I was preaching, I was in this, I'm going to finish, I just want to say that one time I was preaching and I was at the end of the day, we were all finished and we were conversating, and the pastor came up to me and was sitting with Jane and told Jane, "Wow, that guy's such a powerful preacher. Thanks so much for bringing him." And Jane said, "Well, at home, he's just my husband." Thank you so much, guys. Lord God, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this ministry here, as the ministry of Inherit the Kingdom can be the boots on the ground in different places in the world, Lord. Let us touch the hearts of the people in Central America and East Africa and also in the depths of India. Lord God, Father, guide us and give us a desire in our heart to share more, to do more, that we can bless more. And I thank you, and I want to bless everybody in this room right now. Share the special anointing of the God Father who is in heaven and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.